Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. But it's all because of him, eh? And he deserved a better clap than me. So let's do it unto him. For he deserves all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. Amen. You may be seated. So I don't think that the donkey believed that all that was for him, the hosanna and all the palm branches and all the clothes they spread for him to walk on. I don't think he believed all that was for him. So I don't believe all that is for me either. It's because of him. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to continue, as I promised, on the mind, and because I had in mind to pick up this VML that Brother Cirillo had written since 9th August 1989. How many of you was alive in 1989? How many of you was born in 1989? So quite a few was not wrong in 1989. All right? So we're going deeper into this study on the mind, and as you know, he's an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to the church, the worldwide, not the worldwide Church of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, you know. And we thank God that we have them. Thank God for them, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. If we want to be perfected and we want to be used of God, and we want to be perfected, we have to be taught under the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. It cannot be one person. We'll be stagnant. Cannot be one person. It's the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. So we thank God. All right, so we're going to be beginning our journey now on the 7 major strategies in Satan's counterattack against the church. Right? And we're still dealing with the mind. Okay? Still dealing with the mind. All right? Fear. First of all, fear. Possession. And before we go any further, Holy Spirit will recognize you. That you are our great teacher. You are the one who brings divine revelation to our spirits. And so we thank you for being in our midst. We thank you for God's will, purpose, and plan for every life being accomplished tonight. In this study, we plead the blood of Jesus over this place, over every life. And we thank you, Father, for what you will do. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So fear, possession, obsession, obsession, obsession. Delusion, 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 D-E-L-U-S-I-O-N. Delusion, temptation. Oppression. And last of all, depression. All right, so we are going into our study, and it says here, face Satan and defeat him in the power of a 100% victorious mind. You see, we cannot defeat the enemy if our mind are not perfect. 100% victorious. You mind cannot be corrupted, have all sorts of things in it, and want to fight Satan. What are you doing? Setting up yourself to be killed. Remember what we wrote last? 100% pure, healthy, renewed, well-disciplined, victorious mind. We have the mind of Christ. So with that mind, we can fight the enemy. Without that, just forget it. Forget it. Forget it. But how many of you know that's not God's plan for us? To live in defeat? It's not his plan for us. His plan that we live in victory, because he already provided that for us. He already made that way. That we live in victory. So we are going into this study now. Alright? Remember, seven major strategies in Satan's counterattack against the church. Right? Remember we said in the previous weeks that we are engaged in a battle. We are engaged in warfare. The minute you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you have just enlisted yourself in the army of the Lord. And the other side wouldn't take it light, because he can't take losing. He can't take losing souls. His desire that everyone goes to hell with him. And the minute a soul stands up and declares Jesus as Lord, he's going to launch attack against your life. Don't you know there are people who, the very night they receive Jesus Christ, they enter their home, it's war. The night I got saved, my cousin was with me. And as he went home, my uncle, my mother, brother, my uncle, you know what he told him? You know what he told him? Boy, you're a sissy. Only sissy does go to church. He never went back. He went up to the altar with me. But the devil was home waiting for him, and he was a young boy. So he couldn't stand to be a sissy going to church, okay? So he forget it. He forget it. You know? You just forget it. So, Paul warned in Ephesians of the battle we are waging against Satan and his evil principality. And as Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor. Remember, when you that? Put on the whole armor. That's the only way you can fight the enemy and be successful, when we have the armor on. Must have the armor on. What are the armor? Listen to Ephesians 6:11-12. What's the armor? It's what God provided for us. When he died on the cross, he provided that armor. You know the armor starts normally with the belt of truth. But you cannot have the belt of truth. You cannot wear that unless you have salvation. Helmet of salvation. Cannot. Unless you are saved, you just forget it. You must be saved. You must have that helmet on. Must have that helmet on. Breastplate. A saved person can have the breastplate. Because it was provided for. We are righteous in him. We are righteous in him. Because of him, we are righteous. We're not righteous in our own. We can make ourselves righteous, but as a child of God, we are righteous in him. So we can put on that breastplate of righteousness. The shield of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But you cannot have faith if you're not saved. As a matter of fact, every human being possesses the five senses. But when you receive Jesus Christ into your life, you have an extra one, a spiritual one. And that's faith. Because faith is not natural. Human being cannot muster up faith in their own self. But faith is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. Love too. You could love people on your own. Tell me. You might say some, you know, you might think it's some love. But to have the real agape love, you got to get it from God. Faith is a gift. So when you have that, now when the enemy sends his darts towards us, we can lift that shield. Huh? quench all the fiery darts. And so let's read it, please, for those who are not well acquainted with this. Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 11. And as we get it, let's start reading, please. Stand up to the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take unto you the whole of God, you may be able to, and having done all to stand. Therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, with of righteousness, of feet shod, preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, wherewith able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We'll stop there. Finish up the verse. We'll stop here. Amen. Yeah, we can stop here. So, you see the armor that God has provided for us. To be able to fight in this warfare, we must have on the armor. We cannot fight in this warfare without the armor. Cannot. So, Satan is going to use in his counterattack against us. He's going to use his armor. How many of you know he has his own armor? Huh? What are you going to fight us with? He knows. Whatever area he attacks us, that's what the armor is going to use against us. But we must be, as we shared over the past few weeks, we must be always ready. We must gird our loins and have our minds ready to face his attack. Because he's going to start on the mind. And remember, the mind is the battlefield. The mind is the battleground. The mind is where he starts his attacks. You're going to attack on the mind. So we got to brace ourselves for that. We got to put on the armor. We got to gird the loins of our mind. We got to be sober and be ready to face those attacks. We got to be, otherwise we'll end up defeated all the time. We'll make what was done on the cross, we'll make it of none effect. See, Jesus Christ didn't die for us to have 100% victory or 99.9%, but 100, not 1%, but not even 99, but 100% victorious mind all the time. He died for that. He paid the price for that. So we must remember that God has not planned for you and I to be defeated. Never. And you know, this was written in 1989, and believe me, it doesn't sound like our day today. It will never get stale. I'm telling you. Even more so today, it's more relevant for today. Much more. Because we are closer, we are in the end time. 20-something years ago, it was still a little farther back, but now we are in the end time. Amen? While I'm speaking, Jesus could appear. While I'm speaking, he could appear. Even before we get back home, he could appear. The only prophecy to be fulfilled right now is Jesus himself coming in the clouds. What more are we waiting to see? The signs of the times are there. Let's be ready. So he has made every provision that you and I will be able to go into battle and be victorious over all of Satan's strategies, all, over all his attacks, over all his deception. And as we shared in weeks gone by, he's a master deceiver. He's deception itself. It started when he deceived his own self in believing that as one of God's creation, he could overthrow God and take his place. He deceived his own self. And so he continued to deceive. He continues to deceive. What a deceiver. So many religions are controlled by him. His lies. And people hold on to their religion. For what? They hold on. I was born this and I'll die this. I used to say that, but thank God today. God had mercy on me. I was born a Catholic and I will die one. And you don't dare talk to me because I already have my religion. I already have my religion. You're out of place to talk to me. Huh? I remember one Good Friday, somebody invited me to some Pentecostal, whatever, church, something. And I said, but this person's so bold. I have my religion. Normally on a Good Friday, we'll fast and go up to Mount St. Benedict. And this person's so bold and out of place to invite me in their church. I have my church in all my darkness and blindness. But thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. I don't know if those of you came out of, I don't know if you appreciate that. But you know what is blindness? I'm sure you have a lot of relatives still in it. And they hold on line, hook, and sinker. They're not. Listen, man, I have my aunts and all my relatives in it. One of my aunts on a Good Friday, when she's not in the States anymore. She resigned and went to Grenada and all that. But let me tell you, she used to be carrying the cross on a Good Friday. And they so believe that they are saved. Another one in the States, she's in a nursing home. And my sister went to visit her and we prayed for her. You know, after we prayed for her, she prayed for us. Wow. Because she considered herself just like us. You know? And I pray for them, Lord, open their eyes before it's too late. Open their eyes. They feel that they are just like you. You know, but it's not so at all. It's not like that. So let's thank God for his goodness and his mercy. It's when you come out of it, you can see it. But when you are in it, you can't see it at all. You cannot see it. You defend it. You're ready to fight. The only true church. Thank God for his divine revelation. You know, we belong to the Catholic Church, you know. Because it's the word Catholic really means universal. And the Church of Jesus Christ is universal, but not the Roman one. You understand? Not the Roman one. Sorry, Pastor. I think he's stepping. I don't know if you wanted to go outside. Anyway, let's go. So God, you know, he made every provision that he will. He made every provision that will give us the ability. He made every provision so that we can go into the battle with the enemy and be victorious. He made every provision. All of his tricks, all of his deception, all of his attack, all his weapons, all his strategies, all his deception, lies. Jesus already made provision so we can fight him and win. Amen? Amen? Fight him and win. God has provided you and I with everything. Everything. Jesus has already destroyed the works of Satan and broken his power over us. How many know that? Jesus already destroyed the works of Satan and he already broken his power over us. For a born again believer, Satan only has power. Only the power that you give him, he has over you. Only that. To the extent, somebody say it out. To the extent he has control over your mind is the degree he has control over you. You forget it already, you should have it written down. The extent he has control over your mind is the degree he has control over you. So you check it out. How many? 1%? 10%? 20? Whatever is not acceptable. Whatever percentage the enemy has over, you know, control over your mind is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. It is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. You're not supposed to have any at all. Who's supposed to be in total control? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And if you read Romans 8, you'll see anyone who has not the Spirit of God is none of his. And it really means anyone who the Holy Spirit is not controlling is none of his. The Holy Spirit is supposed to control us. And I draw that reference with my cousin who was traveling in maxi taxi on the highway. And she, you know what made her turn around? She smelled this foul scent. And when she looked, she saw this vagrant eating that dead dog on the road like Kentucky Fry. And she was so upset. I'm so glad I was not there. You know something? That man was totally controlled by a demonic force. Totally controlled. He didn't have a mind of his own. And God wants us to be in the same position. He wants us to be total control, that we don't have a mind of our own. We said it, we have the mind of Christ. But it must be reality, not just talking, but it must be reality. We must be so totally controlled by the Holy Spirit that we're not doing what we want, but we are doing what he wants. Totally controlled. That man was totally controlled. Eating a dead dog on the highway as though he was eating Kentucky Fry. KFC? Huh? Yes. Totally controlled by demonic forces. And so God wants us to be totally controlled by his Holy Spirit. Totally controlled. So Jesus has already destroyed the works of Satan and broken his power. He don't have any power over the child of God. He don't have any power over the child of God. But if you give him an inch, he will take 10 yards, 20 miles. He won't settle for the inch. If you give him 1 inch, he will take 20 miles, 50 miles. He's like that. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He don't force himself on anybody. If the Holy Spirit was like that, the whole world would have been saved. Not willingly. But he said, whosoever will. So he brings conviction. But he's so gentle. He don't force nothing upon you. You reject him, you backslide, you live for the devil, and you come back to him, you repent, and you come back to him, and he still accepts you. Amen. Still accepts you. You know people in the occult, when they try to come out and live for the Lord, you know many times the devil kill them. You know anything about that? Yes. Do you know anything about that? You don't even want them to live to serve Jesus Christ. Get rid of them. He don't want his people to backslide. After you make covenant with him, drink all your blood and you do whatever you have to do. He don't want you to divorce him. He don't want you to backslide. He want all the believers to backslide. But he don't want his people, Jesus Christ died for them and paid the price, but the people who made covenant with him, blood covenant with him, to do all the evil, he don't want them to leave him. Say, don't believe in divorce. You know, but everybody else who's serving Jesus Christ must backslide and live for him and go to hell. Yes. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. So Jesus is broken. He has broken the power of the enemy over us. So we are facing an enemy that has already been defeated. We are facing an enemy who has already been defeated. You know, and I drew that illustration sometime. How many of you know about Brother Shambach? Brother Shambach was casting out a devil from a person, whether male or female, I can't remember. Casting out a devil. And you know, the devil playing stubborn, so Brother Shambach said, listen, you are defeated. Jesus defeated you 2,000 years ago. The demon says, shh, shh. Don't talk too loud. Everybody don't know that. And it is true. Everybody don't know that. So many people live as though Satan is the boss and he has all the power. Huh? No, 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 no. He was, God created him. He was one of the three archangels God created. Lucifer, Gabriel, and Michael. Lucifer, he chose to do what he do. He deceived his own self. He chose. You see, God created the angel with their own will. God created human beings with their own will. So we have freedom of choice. We can choose. Where we want to spend eternity, we can choose. We can choose. You know, God created us to really worship him. God created human beings. That's why even in the jungle, people who are still in the jungle, they make wood and carve things to worship because they are human beings. They were created for that purpose. They just worship the wrong things. That's how it is. People always, that's why so many religions in this world today. That's why we have so many religions. Yes, yes, people want to worship. People want to worship. But I tell you, Jesus told the woman by the well, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Not lies and deceptions, but in truth. So, we are facing an enemy who has already been defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross. Defeated him 2,000 years ago when Jesus cried, "It is finished." The war against Satan was won. Through his precious blood that he shed, we are totally delivered out of Satan's hand. Why would one want to go back into his hands? I remember Don Point telling the young folks, I said, listen, this morning, I want whoever want to do it, but I want you to get up this morning and testify of the goodness of Satan. Anybody? Anybody want to testify of the goodness of Satan? Because a lot of young people hold on to him as though he's their friend. They don't want to leave him. But they cannot testify of one good thing that he did for them. He's not our friend. He's our enemy. He is our enemy. Flesh and blood is not our enemy. Satan could use flesh and blood. Demonic powers could use flesh and blood. But they're just being used. You hang a man for murder, he might be a serial killer. You hang him or you put him on the electric chair. And the minute that happened, the demon will leave him when he die and go on somebody else. That will stop it. So, you don't look at, in circumstances you face, you don't look at the person or the people. You look at, you got to go beyond that. You got to go to the root and see who is really responsible. Human beings are just being used. How many of you want to be used of God? How many of you want to be used of the Holy Spirit of God? Yeah, that's my desire too. Not of Satan. Not of Satan, but of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," the war against Satan was won through his precious blood that he shed. We are totally delivered out of Satan's hand. He has no claim over us whatsoever. No claim. For sin shall not, after we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, sin shall not or must not have dominion over us. Must not. Must not. Get it from Romans chapter 6, verse 14. All right, you could just write it down. Sin, you could write, sin shall not have dominion over us. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Also Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. So Romans 6:14 and Colossians 1:13. And if you can read Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, it will tell you we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, kingdom of light. We no longer belong to the kingdom of darkness. We are no longer living in the kingdom of darkness under his dominion as prince of this world. But rather we are joint heirs with Christ in the kingdom of God. Satan has no power over us. He's defeated. And God is going to crush Satan under our feet. Finally, after he's been bound for 1,000 years, finally, he will be cast into the lake of fire. I'm so sorry for who don't believe hell exists. I'm so sorry for them. Because whether they believe or not, hell exists. And if they don't surrender their life to Jesus Christ, they're going to die and go to hell. They can quote as many scriptures they want to quote. They could talk about God. They could do whatever they want. Unless they are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and living for Jesus, go to hell. It's sound biased. It's sound, you know, it's not. It doesn't sound right, but that's how it is. After Jesus did so much, after he left heaven, strip himself of his divine attribute as God, came as a man. He walked, he lived among us, he walked, he showed us the way, he did all what he did. He died so we wouldn't have to stand any more penalty for our sins. He took our place. You think God will take that lightly? People just brushing him off and, you know, taking the salvation lightly? In the book of Hebrews, it said, how shall we escape? How shall we escape? Doesn't take nothing much to go to hell, brethren. All we need to do is to be born into this world and die, because we are born sinners. So we don't have to do anything to go to hell. You don't have to teach a child to lie. Any one of you mothers, fathers, ever teach your children to lie? Or to be disobedient and to be stubborn? You ever taught them that? No, because they were born sinners. And as maybe I told you that a few weeks ago, but this little two-year-old, mother called him to pray. He didn't want to pray. So he set up his face. He said, Mommy, I don't want to pray tonight. Jesus tired. Jesus sleeping. 2 years old. A little sinner that need a savior. We were born on our way to hell. We were born on our way to hell. So all we got to do to go to hell is just to be born into this world. And after we have heard of the salvation and all what Jesus did for us, he died on the cross and what he did for us, and we reject that, how shall we escape? You tell me, how shall we escape? Cannot escape. We just cannot escape. Cannot. So we are no longer living in the kingdom of darkness under his dominion. As prince of this world, we are joint heirs with Christ. No power over us. No power. Remember some years ago, we read in Brother Shambach magazine of this block in the United States that had fire on the block. I don't know whether it was gas line. I don't know really what it was. But the houses was just burning down one after the other. But one house on that block, when the fire reached that house, it just skipped over the house. It went around the house and went to the next one. So when the news media came, they asked the woman who was living there. They say, how come? She said, because Jesus is in this house. She said, there's no adultery in this house. There's no drinking booze in this house. And for those who don't know booze, alcohol. No fornication in this house. She told them, she said, this is Jesus' house. God's divine protection. God's divine protection over his people. Amen? Yes, yeah, that's our promise. That's our promise. Psalms 103. Every day you wake up, you should be reading that psalm. Psalms 103. In that psalm, all the promises of God is wrapped up there for us. All the provision is wrapped up there for us. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. So driving down the road, trusting in God, covering yourself under the blood, you don't have to end up in a crash. The devil could plan it, but it don't have to come to pass. It don't have to be. The devil could plan it, you know. And it could be very close at times. But it don't have to happen. Because he promised to redeem our life from destruction. The mission of the enemy? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we would have life and have it more abundantly. I saw a hand. You want to ask a question? Oh, okay. All right. So he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God does not expect you and I to face Satan and the evil powers and principalities of wickedness in our own strength. Don't even try it. Don't even try it. We are. Man is first spirit, possesses a soul, and lives in a body. Man is spirit. How many of you know tonight man cannot die? Anybody know that? The house that we live in dies, but the real man cannot die. God created us to live forever. That is why we must make that choice where we are going to live forever. And it is in our power to do it. We must make a choice because we cannot die. We must make that choice where we're going to live forever. But to live forever, we are going to live forever. Physically, we was never to die. Was never to die because of sin. The body was never to die. Never. Man was never to die. Physically, physically. Was not never to die physically. And if you realize from the beginning, the man who lived the longest was Methuselah, and he lived 969 years. And I tell you, God, man, sin, man turned his back on God, and God couldn't take it anymore. God said, listen, not even 100. I've given you 70. And if by reason of strength, if you take good care of the body, you'll go a little further. Yes. 70. We have generations now that won't even, they're not even going half. They don't even want to reach 25. Have mercy on us, Lord. So, God doesn't expect us. He has given us everything that we need to be able to fight and win this battle successfully, victorious. God has given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. All. Don't you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Amen. There's everything you need. Healing, deliverance, salvation in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, don't forget that demons tremble. That's why there's no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved. Forget all the other names. In my religion, we call a lot of names, you know. Man, I rolled that bead until my hand was sore. And nobody was not answering us. They couldn't answer us. Huh? And did you all know that? It used to sound like a rhythm. I remember as a child, we used to laugh. We used to laugh under our breath. So-and-so, pray for us. And it going. Keep going for a length of time. Pray for us. Call out their names. Pray for us. Nobody hearing us. Nobody praying for us. But thank God for the name of Jesus. Huh? Thank God for the name of Jesus. demons tremble at the sound of that name. We don't know what we have going for us as believers. We walk with our head down as though we don't know who we are. We belong to a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. All other kingdoms will be destroyed, but the kingdom that we belong to cannot be destroyed. It will never be destroyed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he has given us power and authority over all the power of Satan. That's why when we cast out demons, I remind the demons what I know and what they know too. That they must obey, because we casting them out in the name of Jesus, not in our name. And Jesus has given us authority over them. And they must obey, you know. They might make all kind of grand charge and do all kind of things, but believe me, if you don't know them, they'll have you sweating all day. But believe me, you got to know when you speak in Jesus' name, when you command them in Jesus' name, they got to go. So at one point, you got to forget them and just move on, because they got to obey. Because it's not in our name, not in our strength, not in our authority, but in what was given to us. What was given to us? What's the keys of the kingdom? Jesus took it from Satan and he gave it to us. And so whatsoever we bind is already bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose is already loosed in heaven. Are you grateful tonight? Yes, 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 yes. Yes. Let's live up to it, brethren. Let's live up to it. It will worth it all when we see Jesus. It will worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen? So God has given us spiritual armor that makes us invulnerable and invincible. We operate like Jesus himself. With the Holy Spirit in us, the anointing of God in our lives. You know, I was sharing with them last night in Sunday Grand. I said, listen, we really don't know who we are. Listen, it could be just 1 minute ago you received Jesus Christ into your life. Already you are a saint, you are a child of God, you know. The enemy is already, he's already afraid of you. That's why he set people up in your home and on the job or whatever to try to get you back, to discourage you. The experience I had as a young believer, maybe just about 8 months old in the Lord, when this man tried to rape me. We didn't know warfare as we know it now. It's when Brother Cyrilo came into this country in 1985 and he taught the ministers who attended and the church, he taught us how to do warfare. How to locate our enemy. How to go beyond the surface and go to the root and see who is really behind this situation and the circumstances that you face in life. All we knew to do in Pentecostal churches and in full gospel, all we knew to say was, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And anybody could challenge me on that. That's all we knew to do as warfare. But we learned about warfare when he came here in 1985. And those who met him before, you know, before 1985 when he came to Trinidad. And we understood. So when that man tried to rape me, all I knew to say was, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But that was enough. Because when I said that, I felt a power just came. I don't know why it fell or it rose up or whatever. And I tell you, I felt so big and strong and fearless. And I just shake off. I just push him off like that. Just push him off like that. And I started this warfare. This, I was just pointing him. He had to blink many times that I wouldn't jerk out his eyes. And he couldn't as much as touch me. And from the time I had that experience, I realized my God is able to deliver me from any situation. That is why you find I'm like how I am. Don't you know? Don't you know, brethren? Don't you know that Satan tremble at the prayers of the wicked saints? You just come to the Lord. You don't have to know much. But you get on your knees and you call on Jesus. I tell you, demons tremble. There's power in Jesus' name. I didn't know warfare as I know now, but what I said was enough. Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I just felt my tongue just going off in another language. And listen, 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 listen. Like a demon said at one time, I look at your eyes and your eyes like fire. The anointing. So we don't know who we really are. We need to find out. We need to get in God's word and know who we are in Christ. Who we are. You're not to let people put us down. We belong to the small churches and, you know, try to treat us with scorn. Because they are blind. They are in darkness. They can't see. They don't understand. They cannot discern. It's like foolishness to them. Remember how we were? Can you remember how we were? I remember when I was maybe in my teens or early 20s, the neighbor had some crusade not too far from me where I live. And when I went to work the next day, I tell my co-workers, I say, listen, if they continue with this crusade, I'll go to the police. I say, I can't take on these people. They can't, all they know to say is, praise the Lord, hallelujah. They don't know about anything else. If they continue making noise in my head, I'll go to the police. Hmm? Today, who is saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah? Who is saying that today? Thank God for his mercy. We'll be walking down on Frederick Street on a Friday evening. A few of us walking down on Frederick Street. I remember one or two girls will stand up. There was this group from Deliverance Temple right by Scotiabank there at the end of Frederick Street. They used to have meetings there on a Friday. And my friend will stop to listen. I'll pull them away. Thank God for his mercy. You know what I did when I got saved? I went right in that corner there and I joined them. I said, let me show the devil something. Thank God for his mercy. I tell you, when you're in darkness, you're in darkness. And it only takes the power of God to get you out. Only takes the power of God to get you out of it. And the prayers. That's why you just don't go and talk to someone. And if they didn't, you know, respond, you just give them up and say, oh, they don't want God. No, you can't say that. You can't say that. Nobody, people didn't give up on us. That's why we are here today. This woman, well, she was a young woman at the time. We used to party together and all that. And all of a sudden she came and said, well, oh, she going to a church and she got saved. And we could not understand that. We could not understand that. So whenever she walk in on a morning on the job, I'll tell my friends, I say, look, Jesus coming. Look, Jesus coming. And she will invite me and she will pray and she will talk to me and everything. And I try to avoid her. We used to live on the same street. And I'll make all kind of wrongs, stop out and cross river and make all kind of wrongs to avoid that walk going home with her. And for 5 years, you don't give up on people, you know. For 5 years, she's been inviting me while I'm saying all that, we are talking about people that are in darkness. Unless God deliver you, you cannot be delivered. For 5 years, how many of you been going after a soul for 5 years? Anybody? Anybody been going after one soul for 5 years now? Huh? Nobody. Nobody could even put up your hand. But for 5 years, she was after me. She didn't say much, you know. She'll just throw in a little thing every now and then. Every now and then she'll throw in a little something. But I'll try to avoid her. And we used to party together, you know, but I'll try to avoid her. If she invites me anyway, I say, but she bold. She know I belong to a religion. Why she want me to come to her church? And sometimes we used to say, all right, I'll come. And she'll come to meet me. And when I see the time coming, I'll get a piece of cloth, wet it, put lime a call, tie my head. And when she reaches, oh God, girl, I have a headache. Yeah, she's all right. God is good. I'll come back next time. Darkness. Total darkness. You cannot see. You cannot understand. And when she go, I'll take out the head and I'll laugh. Wet it with lima coal. I have headache. Can't go. You know what God did with me? He put a hook in my jaw. She invited me to a deeper life. Move on Pentecostal church. She invited me to a deeper life. I can't remember if I told her yes or no, but that day, that whole day, something was, yes, I just can't explain. It was different. Something, the Lord was just dealing with me. That's how I went with my cousin. Because I went to meet her. She coming to meet me all the time, and I'm faking and saying I'm sick. I went to meet her. And you know she didn't go? She was over a tub of clothes. With me now, after labor, you know, for a soul for 5 years, I was going to forget the clothes and go. She didn't do that. So I took my cousin, and I went in this strange church not knowing anybody. And that's where I can name 28th of October, 1976, on a Saturday night, around 9:30. I can name all that to you. Because I tell you, it's a night I cannot forget. I'll never forget. And I went into that church, and they didn't have an altar call for sinners. As people went up to receive the Holy Spirit, I went up and I stood in my little corner, and the Lord was just dealing with me. And instead of saying "Hail Mary," I was saying "Praise the Lord." I said, "What? Praise the Lord?" And the Lord filled me with His Holy Spirit and saved me at the same time. And I tell you, I walked out of that church a new person. And I want to just say to you that nobody had to come to look for me. They announced they had service. The next time they had service, I was there. They say Bible study as a Catholic knows nothing about Bible study. I want to know what Bible study is all about. I went to the Bible study. Nobody had to come home to look for me and beg me. Nobody had to pick up the phone, and we didn't have much phone at the time, but nobody had to look for me or beg me or invite me and try to coax me and nothing like that. Salvation is a complete work. I don't understand people say they're serving the Lord, and every time you have to beg them and call them and, wow. Didn't even have a vehicle picking me up. I walked when Bible study finished about 9:30 on a Tuesday night. I, as a young woman, sometimes I'm alone, sometimes I have company. That's road there by Neil and Marcy. I'll walk down. It didn't have lights at the time. I'll walk down there and go into Caledonia all by myself. Didn't have anybody coaxing me and calling me and, wow. But I thank God. Listen, that's what I'm telling you. You can't be 10% saved. You can't be 50% saved, and you can't even be 99% saved. Salvation brings transformation. Transformation. Nobody had to come and beg me and find where I was living, and nothing like that. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Nothing like that. Amen? Now you could give the Lord a hand, because I tell you, you're talking about transformation. I was always in church. The time I miss over those years, I can maybe kind of count it on my fingers. Always in church. Didn't have to go to look for me. Because why? I found a new life. Ask me, what's the matter with you, my friend? Tell them that I am saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized. Jesus is my life. I found a new life. Nobody had to look for me, darling. Nobody had to call me. Yeah, salvation, I tell you. If you are going through those things, you better go back to the cross. Get the real thing. Jesus don't save you halfway. But when you are saved, you are saved. When you are saved, you are saved. Amen? God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. We already have the scripture here. The weapons of our warfare, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. We already have it from the past week. We already have it. I'm tempted to ask how much more time I have. It's after 8, right? It's after 8? My watch is saying the right time. 5 more minutes. How many of you thank God for the few minutes? So let's see how far we could go in 5 more minutes. About 10? All right. Thank you very much, Brother Murray. So with the spiritual weapon God has given us, we not only have to have the power to pull down all the strongholds of the enemy, but we have power to demolish them. You know what the word demolish means? Demolish. Destroy it. You see how they put the dynamite on the buildings that they want to demolish? Huh? After it's demolished, it's no more building, but it's just rubbles. Huh? And make it non-existent. So we not only could pull down the strongholds of the enemy as believers, but we can demolish his strongholds. Make it of non-existence as believers. However, the victory over Satan that Christ has won for us is not ours automatically. You can't just sit and be passive and decide you're not going to fight and expect to be victorious. No, you got to be engaged in this battle. And you need not to be afraid of the enemy. Yes, he has some power, but you need not to be afraid of him, because who has all the power? Huh? Jesus, and he's in us. He's the greater one in us. He has all the power. So we need to get involved. You don't wait for him to strike, but you take the battle to him. Don't wait for him to strike. In this war, you can't just sit and just wait for it to get hit, you know. It might be fatal. So, but you got to take the battle to him. Don't be afraid to bind the works of darkness. We must learn how to locate our enemies. Go beyond the surface and see the root. Get to the root. And once you destroy the root, you destroy the fruit. Destroy the tree. We got to be able to discern the works of darkness. There are demonic forces that are being released, that are being assigned to individual lives, to families, to communities, to nations, to churches. Don't you know that? To individual lives. We cannot be afraid of. Jesus already given us the power and the authority. I tell you, when the man tried to rape me, all I knew was, Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name. But it worked. God is a good God. It worked. Because that was enough for that time. Understand that? Sure. It worked. Because I bind Satan in Jesus' name. So even though you start with that alone, drugs in your area. Listen, in the area where I live, whenever the young fellas gather, there are times they'll gather under a little mango tree and start gambling. I'll get out there on my porch. I'll get out there. They wouldn't see me. I don't want to create no scenes. I'll stretch my hand and spoil the works of darkness. The spirit that is in control of them, that is causing them to gamble. I'll do it, and every time I do it, they'll move away for a very long time. We are in control. Because of who is in us, we are in control. So like Pastor always say, well, listen, we must be able to discern spirits. If you see something floating in a pond with wings and webbed feet and all that, how you call it? What? Ostrich? Huh? You should be able to discern. See the spirits. Hatred is a spirit. Bitterness, unforgiveness, envy, lying, stealing, adultery, fornication, lust. Those are spirits. And just name them. They are spirits that need to be dealt with. Unforgiveness. God's people have to learn how to forgive. And we got to remind ourselves that if we don't forgive others, God wouldn't forgive us. So how are we going to live? Where are we going? How many says to forgive is an act of humbling yourself? So what? Unless we become like little children, we cannot enter. You'll beat a child now and you can love up the child in the next 2 minutes. So unless we become as them, humbling ourselves, we wouldn't enter. We could call how much God we want. We could shout as loud as we want. Unless we become as little children, we will not enter into God's kingdom. And I wonder if my 10 minutes finished. Yeah, my 10 minutes almost finished. Huh? 10 minutes is almost finished. So let's just go, just this little part here and we'll finish. So the victory is ours as we put on our armor. Arm ourselves with the weapons of warfare so that we can resist Satan. We must take aggressive action and press the battle in the spirit. It's so important. When we go to pray, we don't trust ourselves. We don't look for fancy words and all this other thing to impress God. But we get in the spirit. I love when I go to pray that I can get in the spirit and the job is done. I don't have to fight to pray for this and for that. I'm tired of myself when the Holy Spirit could allow him to take over. And the job is done. And it's a very effective way of dealing with the works of darkness. Very effective way. After the sins that experience I had, I'm not afraid of any challenge. I'm not afraid of any challenge. It could be what? I'm not afraid of any challenge. I'm not afraid of any challenge. Because I know who is in me. I am not afraid. Many of you sometimes listen to the program and hear how we pray on the radio. Serious warfare. Not afraid of the enemy. Don't you know the enemy is afraid of us? Amen. And he's wondering what we'll do next. Amen. But we, some believers, are afraid of the devil wondering what he will do next. Amen. Could you imagine that? So I want to encourage you. Take this, what you have heard, very serious. Just remember, the mind is the battleground. He plays on our minds. He tries to influence our mind. He put things in our minds. He tries to mess it up. But as we continue yielding to the word of God, yielding in prayer and in the word, because we must know the word. We cannot fight Satan if we don't know the word of God. Jesus Christ didn't look to argue. No. Jesus Christ said, after fasting 40 days, he said, listen, Satan, it is written. And we can only fight him with the word, with what we know. What we put inside, God will be able to use. Amen? Amen. So God bless everyone. Let's live for Jesus. If Jesus come before next Wednesday, let's live for him. Let's meet.